A globe of the world dressed with film tape and the words Worldwide Bonus Entertainment PLC is followed by a spotlight emitting green light against which letters come together to form the title Rovinj Motion Picture Company PLC. A mouse wanders between underground rail track fixings as leading actors' names fade in and out. Mackenzie Crook, Colm Meaney, Gemma Arterton and Imelda Staunton. Be Sky B presents Three and Out, audio description by Derek Miller. Three casually dressed youths walk to the front of a tube station platform. The middle one, wearing a hoodie, is being tugged forward by the large Rottweiler he has on lead. The dog spots the mice on the tracks and pulls harder. The incoming train, driven by Paul Callow, has no chance of stopping as the dog pulls the youth down onto the track. The dog jumps back onto the platform as the horrified driver pulls at the emergency brake, but the youth is hit. In the restroom, a plate of spaghetti bolognese is thrust under Paul's nose.
First one, was it?
Oh, it's a choker. First time out. Did they give you? Sick leave, post-traumatic stress.
7 days only?
Did you see the trauma team?
Asked if I wanted counselling or someone in the cab.
Good, because I hear one of them counsellors is hot. You should ask for her, man.
First one always stays with you. Never forget it. Second one. Maybe you remember, maybe you don't. But the third one.
Third one what?
Paul's colleagues talk about underground suicides.
What? Do you fancy coming for a pint? Take your mind off things?
Nah. Wouldn't seem right, thanks.
Oof. You know what, bruv? You want to get out more.
Paul takes the tube himself. He and other commuters descend the escalators to the crowded platform and get on the train. After a short journey, he arrives home, a large Victorian terraced house on a very busy street. He sorts through the mail and finds the items addressed to him before entering his flat. The first one is a notice of disconnection. It's dark now as he sits at his computer. He pulls the curtains together and goes back to the laptop, where he looks wishfully at a picture of an isolated farmhouse by a stream, over which towers a cloud-top mountain. Loch Tyne House. Sale price, £240,000. Paul is back at work in the cab of his train. A heavily sweating man barges into a cellar of the Big Issue, knocking the magazines into the air. He ignores the vendor and proceeds to the tube platform, looking increasingly pained. He loosens his tie, clutches his chest, and falls forwards onto the tracks, with Paul's train just yards away. He slams on the brakes, but has no chance of stopping. A look of horror and disbelief crosses his face as he closes his eyes. In the restroom, he shuts his locker.
Paulie.
Paul, what are we going to do with you?
Second in a month? It's becoming a habit.
Wasn't my fault.
Don't say that.
He was dead before I hit him. I tried to stop.
Oh, of course you did. Come on, it's just a bit of bad luck, that's all.
Hey, but the psychological effect is still the same, though, isn't it? It all counts in the big game.
Shh. What big game?
The one nobody talks about.
So why are we talking about it?
Because we care about you, Paulie.
All right, Paul. See you later, fellas.
See you later, Rob.
Yeah, see you later, Rob. 3 is the magic number. The rule, man, the rule.
What rule?
3 and out. You hit 3 people in a month, they pay you off. They retire you because they reckon that you can't deal with it up top. 3 is the charm. is three and out. And we're talking 10 years' salary.
Lump sum, thank you very much.
How much?
Gosh, no one's ever done it. Not in a month.
Well?
Not... You nearly did it in 99.
Yeah, yeah, but I missed it by 3 days.
10 years' wages.
So, how long did he get?
Oh, I caught him with the biscuits. Gave him 6 months. Count two with good behaviour.
Tell you what, bruv, you want to get yourself on a central line. There's always at it. Yeah. When does your mum run out? I mean, since you hit the first one.
Wait, today, Monday.
What, 7 days? Well, that's pushing it.
Yeah.
When you're on next?
Monday. They give me the rest of the week off.
A week off? So that just gives it to what? Monday. Bastards. And you know why that is? That's so you ain't even got a fighting chance.
Yeah. Never mind, mate. Another time, eh?
Alone now, Paul looks at the mouse on the trundle wheel inside his cage and ponders his own situation. Back at home, a party is going on upstairs.
Oh, it's you. Landlord was here today. He's looking for you again. Says you owe him 2 months' rent.
Got it right here.
Oh, don't shoot a messenger. I don't care whether you obey him or not. Hey, do you want to come up?
No thanks. Got some work to do.
Well, if you change your mind.
He puts his envelope of money on the desk, opens his laptop, sits down and looks at what's already written. Love Song for a Lost Generation, a novel by Paul Callow. He can't write as his colleague's words go round his head.
The rule, man, the rule.
10 years' wages.
Three is the charge. It's three
and out.
You hit three people in a month. They pay you off. They retire you because they reckon you can't deal with it up top.
The sounds of arguing, buses roaring by, car horns, pneumatic drills, the party music thumping, and other city sounds are torture and a distraction for him. He holds his head in despair.
And out.
Capital.
Sat in his car, he listens to the radio.
Landmark for over 100 years, but after a recent rise in fatalities, the bridge in Holborn is fast gaining a reputation for copycat incidents. Now the authorities are increasingly concerned about the rising suicide rate.
He drives to Holborn Bridge.
10 great songs at
work. London's hit music station. I've been feeling dire, distressed. Although you just need a break. With Fisher, please.
He sees a vagrant loitering near the bridge parapet. He gets out to intervene, an idea forming in his mind. But the man turns to walk away and glances at Paul, who returns to his car, picks up a Samaritan's leaflet, goes home and phones them.
Yeah, hi. I was wondering, I've got some time on my hands and I thought maybe I could, you know, volunteer, do the odd afternoon or whatever. Training course. All right. I couldn't just drop in and... No. All right. Information pack. No, I'm fine. No, I've changed my mind. Bye.
The idea of identifying potential suicide victims consumes him. As he carries his shopping home, he passes a nursing home and approaches an old man who, after a few words, attacks him with his walking stick. Next, in a bookshop, he sees a young man reading a book whose title includes the words Suicide and Guide. He looks at the man whose hand moves to reveal the full title. Coming Out is Not Social Suicide, A Gay Man's Guide. The man sees Paul and smiles knowingly. Paul beats a hasty retreat. On the street, he sees a group of foreign visitors looking up at a figure on the edge of a rooftop. He races upstairs to find that it is only a statue.
One way or another.
returns to his flat and types in suicide chat room on his computer. Paul walks up a suburban street and arrives at a house boasting a mock church door. Before he can knock, it is opened by a man with a beard, tinted glasses, orange roll neck jumper and a black leather jacket.
Hello. Are you Paul?
Yes.
Hello. I am Maurice.
Paul is uncomfortable as he holds his handshake for too long.
I'm pleased to make your acquaintance.
Please, eat. I made them myself, my own recipe. I am so pleased to meet you, Paul. There are not many people who would do this.
Glad to help.
So where will we do this thing? In your apartment?
Well, no, on the underground. The tube.
Oh, yes, but how is this possible?
Well, I'll be driving the train and you can, you know, jump.
Jump? Are you crazy? I'd be killed.
Well, that's the general idea.
But what about the cooking?
Cooking?
Maybe the cooking and the eating.
Sorry, what cooking?
I wish to watch as you eat piece by piece.
Eat what?
Me. First we cut off my penis, then we fry it, perhaps with onions, and then we do the legs and the arms and so on until I'm all gone. Oh, don't worry, Paul. Many people have done this before. Don't you read the news? It tastes a little like pork. How is your sausage? Oh, what? Is too spicy?
There's been a snake. I'm sorry.
He spits out the sausage, which had been accompanied by a strange artistic vegetable creation, and rushes out of the house past a startled neighbour. Now in his car, he goes over Holborn Bridge and sees the vagrant he saw before, climbing over the parapet. He screams to a halt.
Hey! Shit! Wait! Don't do it! Follow me!
Please go again! Jesus Christ!
He holds on to the man as the lorry with graphics final curtain thunders past below. The man attacks Paul.
Why can't you leave a man be? Oh yeah, you fucking do good. I just think you can just walk up.
I gotta breathe.
God, please.
That's all I fucking need.
He gives Paul a final kick and runs. Paul gets up, jumps a barrier, and gets to his car.
Hey! Dave!
The vagrant turns and gets in as well. They race away before the police arrive.
How about I buy you a drink?
I think you fucking owe me one. Never mind the cheers. What's your fucking game, eh? What are you? One of these religious types? Waiting like a vulture for some poor soul to save.
I'm a tube driver.
Forget about that with me.
I'm not religious.
Oh, I've done all the praying I'm going to do, I tell you.
I want you to kill yourself.
People look at them in the now quiet bar.
Keep it down, would you? Gobshite. And you can shove that reverse psychology up your hole.
No, it's true. I want you to kill yourself.
But you've done a bloody good job of stopping me up until now. What is it you're after, eh? My organs, is it? Oh, yeah? You're gone blind. You want my eyes, is that it?
I was wondering if you'd be interested in throwing yourself in front of my train. I'll pay you, of course.
You pay me? Right. Huh? Pay to run me down?
I was thinking in exchange for this
service, I could give you, say, 1,500 quid.
Ah, right. And I just throw myself under your train, presumably with a smile on my face.
What? Yeah, basically.
1,500 quid and be cold dead hand, huh? Jeez, that's a fantastic deal. How could I refuse? What the fuck am I supposed to do with 1,500 quid when I'm dead, huh? Buy myself a fancy headstone?
No, no, you won't be dead. Huh? I mean, you will be, but not until Monday morning. So you've got the whole weekend to spend it on whatever you want. A woman. Lots of women.
What do you think I was doing last night?
Okay, so eat, drink, and be merry one last time.
Look, I'm already fat and my liver's shot and I don't feel like laughing, huh? Next.
There must be something you always wanted to do. You never got the chance.
The vagrant stops, a faraway look in his eyes.
There he is.
Excellent. What is it? We'll do that.
I want to swim in a great white shark. No cage. Just me and the beast. Eyeball to eyeball. There's a fella does it. South African. I saw him on the telly. He just gets right in there with them. No worries. Ooh, he's never been bit yet. Oh, I'd fucking love to do that.
Yeah, well, the thing is we've only got this weekend. Has to be Monday. What about London Aquarium? Have they got sharks?
Are you taking the piss?
Well, something else then. Give it to charity. Is there somebody you know that could use some cash? What about your family?
Your family? They probably think I'm dead already.
There you go. A nice surprise for them.
They go out to the car.
You know, maybe this isn't such a good idea.
Yeah? Probably best not to involve family. Always gets messy with family.
What about a day at the races? Just take the money and blow it.
Oh, fuck. It's been 7 or 8 years. I can't go, not now.
Probably right. Let sleeping dogs lie and all that.
Well, I wanted to go, you know? I'm not a completely heartless bastard. I wanted to say goodbye, make me peace. Just didn't seem right, you know?
Definitely. I think that's...
And I'm going to show up looking like this. A fucking knacker. Not a penny in me pocket. That 1,500. I'm not a religious man, but maybe this is God's way of giving me one last chance to make up for all the shite I've ran down on them. Ah, fuck. Carpe diem. Seize the day, huh? Now listen, son. If we do this thing, I have to make one thing clear.
What's that?
A deal's a deal. There's no backing out, no fucking around. We shake on this, it's as good as done.
You'll do it.
Deal's a deal. Where's that cash?
At Paul's flat, he leads the vagrant into the cluttered living room with its masses of books everywhere.
Do you?
Yeah? Why?
Hang on, just a while, I guess. What'd you do, rob a bookshop? Got a computer? What's it for? Playing with yourself?
I'm a writer.
Writer? Drives a tube train.
Yeah, well, not for much longer, hopefully.
Grand Sherlock. So where's this 1,500 quid?
I'll hand it over. This is my rent money. How do I know you're not just going to take it and run?
What did I say, huh? A deal's a deal. That means you give me the money and I don't run away with it. Understand? Give me the fucking money.
Hang on, there's 20 quid over.
Call it a bonus.
No, let's call it 1,500 quid. Deal's a deal.
Don't mind if I crash you, do you? Oh, by the way, what's your name?
Oh, God, yeah, of course. Paul. Callow.
Tommy Cassidy. Hey, Paul. Turn off the lights there, will you, when you're going out? Get some kip.
Paul goes to his bedroom, a querulous look crosses his face, to be replaced with one that seems to indicate that his dream could come true. He takes out his wallet and looks at a picture of Loch Tyne House. Meanwhile, Tommy lies awake. The room has a soft glow from neon lights outside. Next morning, Paul awakes, gets out of bed and goes to the living room, where there is no sign of Tommy.
Shit.
He crushes the empty money envelope, but then hears a car horn tooting. He goes to the window where he sees a clean-shaven, suited Tommy in front of a bronze Mercedes.
So you gone?
Ah! Thought I'd had it away with your money, did you? What did I say to you last night, huh? What did I tell you?
I don't know. Deal's a deal.
That's right. A deal's a fucking deal, and I don't want to have to say it again.
What's the story with the car?
I couldn't show up on a bus, could I? I've always wanted one of these. Plus, it's a rental, so I can bat their fuck out of it. Come Monday, they can swing for their money.
Wait there, wait a second.
No, hey, I can't wait. I don't want to hit the traffic.
Paul rushes inside as Tommy prepares to leave, first removing the hire car tag and then tuning the radio, at which point Paul gets in the car.
What do you think you were doing?
I'm coming with you.
Like fuck you are. I only came to say goodbye. I'll see you Monday morning.
No way.
Look, I'm not having you hanging around for my last weekend. Your miserable face will kill whatever little bit of joy I have left.
You won't even notice me. I'll just keep quiet in the background.
Yeah, exactly. Like the grim fucking reaper. No, 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 you're staying here.
Come on. I know a deal's a deal and all that, but I don't know you from Adam. I just want to see this through.
All right. But if you piss on my parade, I'll have your balls on a plate.
Nice suit.
Rosemary always fancied being a pinstripe.
Everything goes when you're dead. Everything empties from what's in your head.
They set off north up the M1. Paul nods off but is awoken by his mobile phone.
Hello?
Paul. I'm pretty sure you are very naughty to run away. Do I not look tasty? I'm sure I will be flavoursome, perhaps with a soupçon of raspberry jus. I make a very tasty jus.
He cuts off the call. Now off the motorway, Tommy is in pain and stops.
Oh.
You all right?
Fine.
He takes some tablets.
Fuck off!
Never been to Liverpool.
I'll give you the grand tour then, will I?
Once in Liverpool, he pulls up at a church.
What now?
I was married in this church.
They enter.
That's our village for a Protestant.
How do you know I'm a Protestant?
Because you've all the spirit of a wet weekend at Blackpool. What else could you be?
Isn't it a sin to commit suicide if you're a Catholic?
Isn't it a sin to deliberately run someone down with your train if you're a human being?
Tommy goes into a confessional booth as Paul looks around. Under a cross, the inscription, "He died that we might live."
Bless me, Father, for I have sinned.
Tommy comes out of the confessional to see Paul lighting candles.
Hey, they're 20 each.
It's not just for Catholics.
As they drive, they see a sign, Callahan Construction.
Callahan? Bastard! He must have paid off the whole council to get that contract. I knew him when he was digging ditches.
Oh, that fucker owes me big time.
This is where he used to live.
Yeah, lovely, isn't it?
What are you doing?
I can't show up empty-handed now, can I? Not after all these years.
In a DIY store.
What are you looking for? Tell me what's going on. That's a crowbar. I thought you were looking for a present. What's she going to do with a crowbar?
If you don't shut the fuck up, you'll be using it to get my foot out of your arse.
What the hell are we doing here?
It's none of your business. I didn't ask you to tag along.
It's nighttime now as they exit the car in front of a posh house. Tommy, crowbar in hand. He smashes a window, gets on the ledge, and falls inside. Then opens a door and calls Paul in.
Hey, hey, Paul, come in. Get in here, will you, for fuck's sake.
Don't stop. This is madness. Let's go.
Will you shut up?
This is mental. What happens if we get caught?
There's no one here. We'll be back for hours at the club.
Whose house is this, for Christ's sake?
The Callahan's.
No! This will screw up everything! Come on!
You just make it, little fucker! You have a choice to make. We either do this my way or we don't do it at all.
Can always get someone else.
Come ahead! But you're not getting your money back. Oh, no. No. I'm doing this whether you want to or not. So if you want to fuck off, be my guest. I thought so. You done?
Yes!
They continue upstairs, but Paul has triggered a silent phone alarm. Entering a bedroom, they see a couple sleeping with plugs in their ears. Tommy searches a jewellery box.
Fuck. She must be wearing it.
He creeps up to the woman in bed and tries to take the ring off her finger. It's tight.
We'll have to use soap. There should be something.
Paul goes into the ensuite, locks the door, and goes to the toilet. He emerges with a soap dispenser.
If he moves, hit him.
Tommy continues, but sprays soap into the woman's face. She awakes, rubbing her face. And sees the goo on her fingers.
Michael Callahan! You dirty old bastard!
What the fuck?
He turns on the light. They spot Paul's head at their bedside. He waves. The man gets out of bed and pulls out a shotgun.
Oh, fuck. Oh, shit. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck. Oh, shit. Fuck.
That's enough now, Paul. Start the burglary now, Cassidy. About all you get left.
I just came for what's mine, Callahan.
There's nothing here belonging to you, Cassidy.
Tommy Cassidy? Jesus. What the bloody hell do you think you're playing at?
I'm sorry, Maureen. I just came for my ring.
What ring?
The sapphire.
What are you on about? Your ring? It were an anniversary present, that. I've had it years.
I know. You've had it nearly 8 years, right?
We've heard enough. I'm calling the police.
How'd you know?
He won it from me in a game of cards. It was all I had left. I just had it repaired for Rosemary.
Don't listen to him, Maureen. He's talking out of his arse.
Go on.
I told him I'd give him the cash. But the fucker, he took a shine to it. Said he needed something for your anniversary. I couldn't face Rose after that.
Bollocks, Cassidy, you're a fucking liar. Not even enough.
Cat, gambling, lying, passing me off with your sordid little winnings.
I tell you, Maureen, he's a fucking liar. I wouldn't, I swear. I bought it, you saw the shop, right? Bought it.
Get it, Paul.
Leave it.
Put it away, you fool. It's not even loaded.
Paul picks up the ring she has thrown to the floor.
Michael Callahan. You lying, conniving, cheap. Skate, little toe rag! I always knew you were a rat! What is it, my mom? Is there a funk? What is it? What else don't I know about you? Oh! Come back!
Wait a second!
Look, I'm a friend of the family!
They leave as the police arrive. Tommy is bundled into the police car as Paul hides, but swallows the ring. He goes to the Merc, but no keys.
Oh, shit.
Walking along the riverbank, Paul looks at his picture of Loch Tyne House. Next morning at the railway station.
Hello, good morning.
Single to London, please.
Right, that'll be £107.50, please.
Hello?
Paul, mon cher, it is I, Maurice.
Just leave me alone.
Paul, it is your destiny to eat me. Why not start with my ear?
Listen, I don't want to eat you, neither your ear or your penis or any other part of you. Do you understand?
People stare at him.
Just fuck off and leave me alone.
Charming. Is there any way to speak to your father?
At the police station.
Okay, Paddy, your son's here.
Hello, son.
Hello, Dad.
You got 2 minutes. All right.
Where the fuck did you get to? I hid. Once they got you, they didn't see bothered about me. Well, never mind that now. You got the ring. Yeah. What does that mean? I thought I'd get caught. The evidence. It was kind of a mistake. He didn't. It hasn't come out yet. But it shouldn't be too long. I'm pretty regular. It's gonna be lovely, isn't it? But you needn't strain yourself on my account. The magistrates don't sit till Monday. No! Oh, God! Must be some way of getting you out of here before Monday.
He drives to Callahan's building site and talks to workers who knew Callahan and Tommy. He has a pint with one who reveals Callahan's liking for the ladies.
You've known Tommy and Callahan a long time, then?
He used to work in my gang on the railways. Oh, nothing but trouble, the pair of them.
What kind of trouble?
With Tommy, it was usually the gambling. Callahan, well, he always had an eye for the ladies. And still does, dirty fecker.
Does he now?
At Callahan's door.
You've got a fucking...
Mr. Callahan, I'm asking you nicely, will you drop the charges against Tommy?
Save your breath for the lawsuit. I don't want to hear it.
Okay, then.
Well, we all know what you're saving your breath for, don't we, Mickey Callahan?
Mary Loughlin.
Bows your bollocks. That rash cleared up, has it?
What in God's name are you doing here?
Well, it's a funny thing. I was talking to that lad there, and he says he knows you.
Knows me? He tried to fucking rob me.
Knows you and your wife? Forgot to mention it on bonfire night, didn't you? When you wanted to put your big fat rocket in me flower pot. Went off with a right explosion, didn't it? Do you remember? No? Shall we ask your wife?
All right.
Tommy is released.
Who'd have thought, Kane, you were so smart?
You're funny, Jesus, Tommy. What if I got nicked too? You're gonna screw everything up. That's part of the deal, remember? Give me a chance to sort things out. Yeah, with your family, not some bloke who used to play cards with.
Ah, lighten up, son. Isn't it about time you had a shite?
In a cafe, Paul has taken a laxative and soon produces the ring.
I'm not sure this is such a good idea. Let's just leave some money, huh? I mean, that'd be far more use than my apologies.
What's the worst that can happen? She slams the door in your face.
You obviously never met my Rose.
Oh, so what? I haven't come all this way to watch you back out at the last minute. What happened to seize the day? We're going. And you're gonna say whatever it is you've come to say. Come on, it'll be worth it.
They go to his old address as Tommy smokes nervously. A man in just a towel opens the door.
Are you fucking my wife?
I don't know. Hang on a minute.
Hey, Sandra!
Yeah?
Are you married to an old Irish bloke?
No.
Sandra. Sorry, yeah. I must have the wrong place.
Who's it you're looking for?
Rosemary and Francis Cassidy. And Sheridan.
Do you still have here, did they?
Hey, you don't know where they might have gone, do you?
Hurry up, Derek. We can't hold this position much longer.
We'll let you get back to your,
I'm really sorry, but it was a long shot after all this time. Let's go back to London, eh?
You need to have a little faith, Bob. You shouldn't be so defeatist. Something will turn up, you'll see.
Oi! I found this! I think it's them!
He throws down a scrap of paper with an address on it.
You ever been to the lakes?
They drive through beautiful scenery before arriving at Coniston. They pull up at a row of white cottages. From the window of the nearest, a woman, unseen by them, peers out.
It's not exactly the country cottage you always dreamed of, but you can't have everything. She'll be happy enough.
Okay. The woman throws crockery at the car.
I'll be very pleased to see you, mate.
She'll go down her cups in a minute.
They tentatively get out of the car.
Hey, Rosemary.
One final piece of crockery hits Tommy on the head. Inside the house, an uncomfortable silence.
In here, love.
Have we got visitors?
Tommy's daughter appears in the doorway.
Frances. Wow, is that you?
She slams the door without a word.
Frankie!
Now look what you've done.
All I did was say hello.
You can't just turn up after 8 years and expect her to welcome you with open arms.
What was I supposed to do?
You should have thought of that before you walked out.
Don't start in, Rosemary. I've only just walked through the door.
And you're lucky I let you over the front step. Don't start in. 8 years without a bloody word. And you think you can turn up here in your fancy suit telling me what to do? Start in. I'll bloody start in, all right.
Oh, come on, Rosa. I've driven all the way from London.
Well, you can get back into your stolen car and drive back there.
It's not stolen.
Listen, I've heard that all before and I
She stops mid-sentence and looks at Paul. Tommy mouths the words fuck off to Paul, who leaves.
Listen, I'm gonna leave you to I'll take a walk.
You want a cup of tea, I suppose.
Yeah, that'd be grand. That's China, eh, Rose?
You're a guest. Guests get China. Anyway, the rest is broken. I thought you were dead, Tommy. All the other times you always came back. And maybe a week later, maybe months, but you always came back.
And I was stupid enough to take you back, but I'm telling you, things are different now. I'm different.
So what do you want, Tommy?
Can't I just...
No, Tommy, you can't. You can't just waltz back in here, upset everyone, and disappear off again. No. Which is exactly what you're planning, isn't it?
Well, I wouldn't...
So it's business as usual. Well, I'm not having it, Tommy. I'm not having Frankie upset like that again. Ever. As you have no idea what that little girl was like when you left.
If I could just talk to her...
Too late, Tommy. She won't have anything to do with you.
What about you, Rose?
I'll hear you out. And that's as good as you'll get. You'll want a sandwich, I suppose.
A thoughtful Tommy takes more tablets as Paul reads a book outside.
So how's she doing?
She's fine. As fine as any young girl can be. I feel like putting up a sign outside, beware of the daughter.
That's my fault.
Yeah. Well, not all of it. 95%.
But she's doing well at school, though.
School? She's 22, Tommy.
I knew that. I meant, like, college or...
She's working now. Up at the Travel Lodge.
Oh, right, yeah. Boyfriends?
More than I know. You've seen her.
She's a fine-looking girl. Takes after her mother, huh?
Just as well.
What's with the fancy hairdryer and stuff?
That's mine.
What do you need all that for your hair?
I'm a hairdresser.
You? A hairdresser?
Mm-hmm. I found something I love doing, and I'm bloody good at it. So it's just locals, mine, but extra money comes in handy.
Well, fair play. I could do it a bit of a trim myself, huh?
Well, I could have done with a husband for the last 8 years. We don't always get what we want, do we, Tommy?
Tommy looks sheepish.
And your man... The chatty lad, who's he?
Ah, just a fellow I know. Bit of a sad sack, really. You know, not too much going on upstairs, you know. I just thought I'd take him out for a bit.
Paul sits on a bridge over a stream.
What do you think of the suit, Rose? You always liked me in a pinstripe, didn't you?
I did that. But fancy suit aside, you're looking like 5 pound of shite in a 3 pound bag. You don't be looking after yourself, Tom. Where have you been all this time? What have you been doing? Don't answer. I don't want to know.
That's enough about me anyways. How have you been? You know, I mean yourself.
What, you mean after working at 4 jobs to pay off the debts you left behind, being so tired I thought I was dying? Struggling to put food on our daughter's table and shoes on her feet. Me, I'm grand. Actually, I am. I've made a new life for us up here. And for the first time in ages, I'm grand. And I want to stay this way.
As Rosemary washes the dishes, Tommy reaches into his pocket and pulls out the ring.
My ring.
It is, yeah.
You found it? How?
Oh, just don't ask.
I always wanted Frankie to have it.
Put it on. It'll still fit you. You haven't put on the pounds.
Emotionally, she slips the ring onto her wedding finger and sheds a tear.
You're a bastard. You are a bastard.
She takes it off again. She starts as Paul's face appears at the window.
bored, all right? Bored!
You listen to me, you little shit. This is my time. I've got 36 hours to do as I fucking please. Are you going to be bored somewhere else?
Everything okay out here?
Everything's grand. That Paul here was just wondering where the local hostelry is.
It's over there by the lake. I'm surprised you didn't see it.
Oh, thanks. I'll go and take another walk then.
In the pub reading, Paul sees Frankie enter with her friends. He gives a little wave.
Why did you bring him here? He's an arsehole. And if you're mates with him, then you're an arsehole too.
But I'm not.
So you can take him back to whatever hole he crawled out of. He's nothing to me.
Is he bothering you, Frankie?
No, I'm not.
No, leave him. I want to hear what he's got to say for himself.
Yeah, well, if you need us, we're here.
I'm like a shark, you know?
And what does that mean?
I think, like, if I stop swimming, I'll die.
Can you smell something?
Ah, come on now, Rose.
Oh, no.
Don't.
I know what it is. Bullshit, that's what.
What do you think I am?
Oh, well, if a shark is a cold-blooded, selfish creature only concerned with its own wants and needs, well, then you're not far away.
Is that what you think I am?
Hmm? Me? No. No, I think you're a lion-cheating scumbag who gambled away everything we had and more, pissed the rest against the wall, and then disappeared without a word, not once, not twice, but three times. You're the lowest of the low, and I don't know why I have you in the house.
I guess that's not very good, then.
No, Tom, it's not.
If you don't really know him, what are you doing here?
Research. I'm a writer.
Yeah, well, I hope you're not writing about that shitbag. Unless it's a tragedy.
No. Nothing like that. I'm just soaking up the atmosphere, really. Looking for new ideas. Only coming along for the ride.
Yeah, well, he's a fucker, so watch yourself.
He's all right. I mean, no, obviously, he's a complete shit, but jeez, you must really hate him. Did you never get on?
I guess so. He was brilliant when I was little. Just filled up the place like a big bear. And then when he left, it was like a big hole where he'd been.
A tear runs down her cheek.
So, a writer, eh? Anything I might have read?
No, not yet. One day.
She downs a pint as her friends move to the next table. Paul looks at her in surprise.
Another?
She returns with pints and shots.
Get it down, yeah.
So you don't think there's any chance of them getting back together, do you?
Mum and Dad? No way!
Back at the cottage in front of the fire, Tommy and Rose relax as Paul and Frankie continue their chat in the pub.
So, tell me about London.
I don't see much of it, really. Underground most of the time.
Underground?
Yeah, I'm a tube driver too.
A writer who also drives a tube train, eh? Very glamorous. Or just research for your novel, I suppose.
Yeah, that's right. It's all about a tube driver. Terribly handsome, comes to the Lake District, meets this feisty young girl who gives him a really fucking hard time, and they get drunk.
Oh, yeah? How does it end?
Tragically.
Oh! Hello, Paul's phone. No, I'm sorry, you can't get to the phone right now. Can I take a message? Oh. Okay. Bye. Apparently, some foreign bloke says he makes tasty crackling and he shouldn't be afraid. What's that all about?
Just a mate. He's a chef. Wants me to try a new recipe.
See, I don't know any fancy foreign chefs. You can't tell me it's not exciting living in London.
It's not exciting living in London.
Oh, come on, it must be.
It's not. It's like living in some huge anthill where nothing works properly. Millions of people just getting in each other's way. No space, no air.
So why don't you leave?
I'm trying, but it's hard. If you've got money, it's bearable, but if you're skint, you're trapped.
Try living here. Everybody knows you, knows everything about you. Nothing changes, nothing ever happens. Round here, their idea of a good time is to get shit-faced as quickly as possible and then shag anyone who'll let them, and then do it all again tomorrow. Now that's being trapped.
To escaping.
And a big fat win on the lottery.
In the cottage.
Morris, I was just thinking about Wicklow.
What about Wicklow? Is that time you disgraced yourself running around half naked?
No, not that. The singing competition. Oh, you were a star that night. My Rosemary, first prize. Sing for me, Rose.
Hmm?
Sing for me.
Get away out of that. Would you think I am the Rose of Feckin' Tralee?
Go on, Rose, please.
I can't, Tommy. Jesus, it's been years.
Of course you can. You've a gorgeous voice. Please, for me. Not like that. Do it properly. Like you did in Wicklow. Now, go on.
You're a menace, Tommy Cassidy. Oh, please ne'er forget me. Though the waves now lie o'er me, I was once young and pretty, and my spirit ran free. But destiny tore me from country and loved ones, and from the dear land I was never to see. A poor immigrant's daughter, too frightened to know she was leaving forever the land of her soul. Now that's all you're getting. It's more than you deserve.
Beautiful. I could die a happy man now I hear that.
You'll outlive us all. Only the good die young.
Paul and Frankie walk home.
Quiet, isn't it?
It's the country. It's always quiet.
Yeah, but it's a bit creepy, really.
Yeah.
So where are you planning on staying tonight? Or weren't you?
Ah, you know, I'll find somewhere. I'll sleep in the car. You know me, I can sleep in a rope.
You're a feckin' torment, Tommy.
Well, look at that sky. Look! There's a shooting star.
Actually, that's a satellite.
A satellite, yeah. I know, I was just checking.
Saw two shooting stars last night. I wished on them.
But they were only satellites.
It's wrong to wish on space hardware.
I wish you care.
I don't want to change the world. I'm not looking for a New England. I'm just looking for another girl.
Frankie kisses Paul.
Thanks.
Come on, let's get home.
Rosemary hands Tommy bedsheets. He puts them down and kisses her.
No, Tommy.
Smell gorgeous.
No, I said no.
Come on, you know you love it, a bit of the old Tommy magic.
Doesn't work anymore, Tom.
She touches his face and gives him back the bedsheets. He leaves the room as she puts her fingers to her mouth. Frankie and Paul arrive at the cottage, quietly go up to her bedroom, where she puts on music, and then kisses him. They both rip off their clothes, get on the bed, and have sex. Downstairs on the couch, Tommy listens to the music as he tries to sleep. Tommy tosses and turns. Rosemary looks at a picture of Tommy when they were a young couple. Frankie and Paul sleep in each other's arms. Next morning, Tommy is preparing a breakfast tray in the kitchen, dressed in a kimono. He takes it up to Rosemary.
Bring you a cup of tea.
Come sit down, Tom. There's something I've got to tell you. I'm going to divorce you, Tommy. Because I want to get married again. He's a good man. He lives in the next village. He's a plumber. Oh, come on. I didn't think I wanted to grow old on my own. Well, speak to me then.
I'll bring this in to Frances. She'd probably be glad of a call. Frances, can we come in?
No! Go away!
Oh, please. Hear me out, Frankie, will you? I brought you a nice cup of tea.
Did you listen? I said no!
Please. I just want to talk. Huh? Yeah. Where to start? Maybe I should let you talk, huh? You know, you tell me what you feel and how I let you down.
Please, not now.
Right, that's my call. The thing is, Frances, I hate myself for what I've done. Much more than you ever could. You know? Now, I know that doesn't change anything or make it better or, oh God, I'm terrible at this. Oh, what I want to say is...
He hears a cough from the bed.
I've been a terrible father, but that doesn't mean I don't care or feel.
He lifts the duvet to see feet, then more of a naked body, right up to Paul's face.
The fuck!
Jesus!
Paul grabs his clothes and jumps from the bedroom window. Frankie throws him his trainers. He puts them on and runs. Tommy in socks steps on crockery pieces and goes in for his shoes.
Sorry, Father.
I'm gaining on you, little fucker. Rip your fucking head off, you little bollocks.
They cross bridges, fences, and fields.
Tommy, we have to talk about this. Be reasonable.
Oh, I'll be reasonable. I'll be very reasonable.
Paul falls into a slurry puddle after crossing a stream.
I got you now, you little shit.
You're the one that said seize the day.
Seize the day, not me feckin' daughter.
Well, you didn't seem that bothered about it 2 days ago. She won't even talk to you.
Jesus, I'm gonna kill you,
Yanny. Oh, fuck! Oh, shit! Oh, fuck! Don't do me! Please don't do me!
The old fucking daughter!
Tommy dangles Paul over a bridge, who then begins to laugh.
What's so fucking funny?
You! Us! Life!
Life? Huh? Is that what you're calling? You ought to start leading one, pal, instead of following one around.
You're the one who's toughing himself, mate.
Like you give a fuck. You never even asked me why.
Because I don't care, that's why. You think you're the only one who's ever screwed up? Well, boo-hoo-hoo, Tommy. Life sometimes sucks and that's all there is to it. But not all of us are filled with so much self-pity they feel the need to kill themselves.
How the fuck would you know? Sitting around with your head stuck up your ass all day.
How the fuck would I know? Because I'm standing on a bridge in the middle of fuck knows where, covered in cow shit, fighting a fat old Irishman dressed in a kimono. And all because his daughter hates him and seems to quite like me.
A boy opens a gate to let his cows through. They cower back.
Fucker, wait for me. I'll tell you what you can forget about tomorrow.
Good.
Yeah, you can find some other poor fucker because I won't be there.
So?
Fuck you.
No, fuck you.
Tommy collapses.
Oh. 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 Tommy, you're an arsehole. Oh. 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 Tommy? That's so childish, mate. That's... Tommy? Tommy, wait. Tommy! Oh, fuck. Don't do this to me, Tommy! Tommy!
He calls an ambulance.
Don't let them see me like this. Rose and Frank. I'm serious.
All right, okay, okay.
Paul returns to the cottage. Frankie, in her bedroom, looks at a photo of her and Tommy on a beach when she was a toddler. She cries. Paul enters.
I'm off to see him now.
Well, I'm not going.
Okay.
If he thinks having a heart attack can make up for... Well, he can think again.
Maybe you should go and see him.
Why?
I don't know. You never know when you see him again.
Like I care.
What if something happens? What if it was the last time? I'll see you later.
No. You won't.
I will, I promise.
No. I mean, I don't want to.
Oh. Okay.
Just go, Paul.
He leaves with Tommy's clothes.
Well, I better get off.
You'll call and let us know how he is. You see that he's all right. Look out for him.
I hardly know him, really.
Promise me. So say it.
All right, I promise.
He drives to the hospital.
Where the hell have you been?
How's it going?
Great. You brought me here.
Don't get excited. The doctor wants you to stay in overnight for observation.
Oh, I'm not staying here all night. Oh, I have things to do.
Mate, you just had a suspected heart attack. For Christ's sake, lie down.
Heart attack be yours. It's just a touch of angina. More lively than usual.
Forget it, you're staying here.
What's it to you? Please, don't leave me here, Paul. Please.
They drive back to the cottage, and Tommy puts a letter through the letterbox, and they set off back to London.
You stay here.
Okay. You wanted to say to her.
Let's go.
I
never heard of someone killing themselves because they had angina.
But it's not, though, is it? It's not just angina. So what is it, then? What?
All right, it's not just angina.
So what, then?
It's terminal. That's all you need to know. I don't want to die in some piss-stinking nursing home. Surrounded by people dribbling and making farm noises. However long I've got left, whether it's 6 months or 6 years, it's not going to be some fucking golden age, oh no. It'll be shite. Every day worse than the last. I won't have it. I'm going out when I say, not when they decide to pull the fucking plug. I'm a stubborn, selfish bastard. I want to choose when I die.
There are warnings of gales in Forties, Cromarty, Forth, Tyne, Dogger, Fisher, German Bight.
Frankie opens the envelope, takes out a wad of notes and throws them. Back at Paul's place, there is another party. He goes to open his flat door, then changes his mind. They go up to the party.
Change of plan.
Oh, Paul, no, wait.
No,
I'm not. I just figured, you know,
if you can't beat him, then I'm not. I'm like a shark. Shark. Yeah, I stop swimming and die. Tommy beguiles the partygoers, then grabs Paul for an Irish jig, fully entering the party spirit.
Tomorrow.
Paul's face reveals his return to reality.
Don't tell me you've forgotten our little arrangement. I'll see you at 10:06, right? Right, it's great.
Thank you. Sweet drinks!
Tommy goes downstairs, followed by Paul.
Tommy, wait. I can't do it.
Of course you can. A deal's a deal.
No, Tommy. Promise Rosemary.
Oh, what the fuck did you tell her?
Nothing. I didn't tell her anything. She asked me to look out for you.
Well, that's all I'm asking you to do. Look out for me. And when you see me, don't stop. That way you're not breaking any promises to anybody. Tell me, Paul.
What?
Why do you want me onto your train?
It's just, I've had two people die under my train this month.
Jesus, you're a serial killer.
No, they weren't my fault. They got this rule. If you have three in a month, they pay you off. 10 years' wages, lump sum.
Mm. What were you planning to do with this payoff? Buy more books?
Get out of London. Go and live in Scotland on an island. Get away from everything.
Really? Life in the fast lane get too much for you? Youth is wasted on the young. You know, somebody famous said that. So what are you planning to do on this island of yours?
Right, I guess.
Right? What about? You've had no life.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. I don't want it anymore. I didn't know you before. You were just some bloke. But now, we're friends, I think. I don't want to do it. Money's not important.
Well, it might not be to you, but it is to me. Oh, I want some of that to go to Francis. 10 grand. Look, Paul, son, if this weekend has shown me anything,
is that I want some good to come of my passing. You know, if I jumped from that bridge, the only thing I would have left behind was a traffic jam all the way up to the Angel. Oh, this way. I get to give something to me little girl. That's something I wasn't able to do when I was alive. You'll get your money. Everyone's a winner. That's how I want it. For
fuck's sake, I don't want money. I'm an idiot. I didn't think things through. It seemed like a good idea at the time, but it's not. It's crazy. I can't do it. I won't.
Do you know how many nights I've stood on that bridge? How many times I've climbed over and stood on the parapet and wanted to jump, wanted to end it all? You want the truth? The truth is, I'm a coward. I'm fucking scared. I need your help. I need you to be there for me. The only way I can do this is if you help me. You said we were friends, But help me to do this. Please, Paul. As me friend, huh?
They sit and reflect as Tommy watches TV.
Police say a man from North London is in intensive care tonight following a bizarre attempt to cook and eat his own body parts. Believed to be a native Frenchman.
Now in bed, Paul struggles to sleep. Next morning, Paul gets out of bed and finds Tommy has gone, and so has the car. The scene switches to the Lake District cottages. Frankie, getting dressed, sees the money and envelope in front of her. She spots a letter inside the envelope and reads, while pictures of Tommy and Paul flash up, readying themselves for the fateful day.
Dearest Francis, I know you're angry and hurt, and you don't want to hear anything I have to say. I don't want you to feel bad for not speaking to me. I don't blame you at all. And of course you're right. I don't expect you to understand why I've done the things I've done. I don't even understand them myself. Though my pals, Arthur Guinness and Jack Daniels, might have an idea. Anyway, I need you to know it was never my intention to hurt you. I've been stupid and selfish and pig-headed. And I don't have much to show for my time, except you. And I couldn't ask for more. Look after your mother. You don't need me to tell you she's one of life's good ones. Far too good for someone like me. Tell her I'm pleased about her and the plumber. It's always handy to have a man with a trade about the house. She deserves a bit of happiness. I know I was never the father you needed or deserved, but you will always be my beautiful girl. And I will always love you. Always. Always. Always.
Frankie sobs. Meanwhile, back in the tube driver's restroom, the mouse has disappeared.
He still had 6 weeks in solitary. I mean, if people don't respect the law, what have you got? Anarchy, mob rule, and mice in your Garibaldis.
What are you going on about? What, you think his mouse brother's come down here and busted him out? Mind you, I think I could see a tunnel.
Oh, back already.
Ah, there's your culprit. A bleeding heart liberal like Paul.
What?
Yeah, that's it. He's got the hump about that free and out thing, and he's come down here, and he's let Mickey have it away on his toes. That's your man, Victor. He even looks guilty.
It's just a joke, Paul. We're only having a laugh.
Laugh about what? What are you talking about?
You know, the rule, the big game, free and out.
What about it?
You know what? I think he believed us.
You knew it was a joke. A wind-up, didn't you? What? You actually fell for it? Jesus, if it was true, everybody would be looking for somebody to run down. You didn't believe us, did you?
No, of course not.
You know what? Maybe it wasn't him what let that mouse out.
They leave as Paul looks shell-shocked and then walks to his train. He vomits on the platform before getting in the cab and beginning his journey. At a station stop, he checks his watch. He sees Tommy crossing the tracks to his line. He brakes to a halt.
Jesus, Tommy. No. Please. No.
Train 208, is there a problem?
A deal's a deal! Come on, Paul, for God's sake, hurry up!
Driver 208. Animal on track.
Tommy stands on the track waiting.
Line clear. Proceeding now. You stubborn old bastard.
He starts the train.
Deal's a deal.
And go now and go to Winnish Free. A small cabin built there of clay and wattles made. 9 bean rows will I have there, and hive for the honey bee, and live alone in the bee loved glade. I shall have some peace there, for peace comes dropping slow, dropping from the veils of the morn into where the cricket sings. Their midnight's all a glimmer, and noon a portal glow, and evening's full of the living.
The accelerating train hits Tommy. From a blank red screen, we see Paul sitting alone in his flat at night time. He is still in the same position next morning. He gets up and stares out of the window before opening his laptop to the title, Love Song for a Lost Generation. He deletes the words and closes the lid, then with a look of realization, lifts the lid open and types Three and Out by Paul Callow, Chapter 1. He continues typing. bubble wrap envelope drops through the letterbox as Frankie walks downstairs. She picks it up and opens it to find a book with a picture of a great white shark and the title, Three and Out by Paul Callow. Inside, a dedication, in memory of Tommy Cassidy, and a cheque for £10,000. She goes back upstairs. Back in his flat, Paul is at his computer when the doorbell rings. He opens the door to find Frankie, who throws her arms around him and cries. They hug each other. To brighten up even your darkest night. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again.
Bags. That's what we got to do.
If the sky... Paul and Frankie, dressed in diving gear, are on board a vessel named Deep Sea Adventurer in the Indian Ocean off the coast of South Africa. They look at the wide open waters and prepare to jump in. A vision of Tommy appears by the rail, making his swimming shark hand gesture and smiling encouragement. You just call out my name. They jump holding hands. The end.